Hello, everyone. I'm Jim Paymar, and you are listening to The Big Shift, the podcast that looks at the seismic changes our world and our country confront. Today, we're looking into a subject you may have heard about lately, conservatorship, also referred to as guardianship. It's been big news after superstar pop singer Britney Spears wrote a book about being placed in involuntary conservatorship for 13 long years, with her father having near complete control of every aspect of her life. Joining me now to discuss this extremely controversial area of jurisprudence is Diane Diamond. Diane is an award-winning investigative journalist, author, syndicated columnist, and former television correspondent who specializes in crime and justice issues. Diane has reported for NBC's Today Show, MSNBC, CNBC, NPR, and Court TV. She's written for Newsweek, The Huffington Post, and The Daily Beast. She's the author of Be Careful Who You Love Inside the Michael Jackson Case. And now she's written a new book, We Are Here to Help When Guardianship Goes Wrong. Diane, thanks so much for being with us today on The Big Shift.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Jim. Thanks for having me.
Guardianship or conservatorship, it's something that we don't really know a lot about. It doesn't roll right off your tongue. But as I understand it, it's kind of an unaccountable legal status where a court appoints a person to manage the financial and personal affairs of a minor or incapacitated person, and they can also monitor the physical care of a person as well as their living arrangement. Do I have that right?
You do. My book deals mostly with adult guardianships. We think of guardians as being appointed for children, but today there is a system called guardianship or conservatorship, depending on the state you're in. These are all state-run groups or organizations, and it literally can work miracles. You know, we need guardianship in this country because there are some people who simply cannot take care of themselves. They have no family, they're living with disabilities, or they have Alzheimer's, or they just are simply old and need some help. So we need guardianship, and there are many of them that work out. My book deals with those that involve predatory court appointees. And because, as you say, it's so unregulated a system and largely unsupervised after the appointee is appointed, it's like, okay, see you later. that some of these people have literally wiped out millions and millions of dollars from the wards of the court.
Well, currently, as I understand it anyway, an estimated 2 million Americans live under guardianship or conservatorship, which is hard to believe. And another shocking fact, state courts confiscate $50 billion in money and property every single year from those placed under court-ordered guardianship. I guess typically lasts about 6 years, so approximately $300 billion worth of assets in this country are under the jurisdiction of a guardian or conservator.
Right. Someone who didn't earn the money is now in control of all that money. And well, and so you can see how people with ill intent would be attracted to work within this system. $300 billion, you know, just sitting there.
That's a lot of cash. Let's back up, okay? Can you explain how the process works? I imagine the first thing that happens is that a person who believes another person close to them is no longer capable of taking care of their own affairs either goes to an attorney or to a court, and there's a filing, and then there are hearings, correct?
That's right. There is a hearing.
A hearing?
I'll give you the typical example. The mother is widowed. She might be having some memory issues. The children get together, the adult children, and say, what do we do with mom? And they can't agree. And then it gets heated and somebody says to themselves, I'm going to get a lawyer. So they typically go to an elder law lawyer or an estate lawyer, and they say, what do I do? You know, my mom, I think this should happen to mom, but they think something else should happen to mom. And the attorney will invariably say, I have the solution for you. Go for guardianship. You can become the guardian because you're the one who was smart enough to come to a lawyer. Mm-hmm. So the lawyer prepares what's called a petition for guardianship and takes it to a judge. Now, if they put the word emergency in there, emergency petition, then there's just one hearing. And the judge says to the officer of the court who gave him the petition, you know, he knows this person, trusts them. Oh, it's an emergency. Okay, Bingo, guardianship is in effect. Even if it's temporary, the temporary ones 99.9% of the time go on to be permanent. So that's how it starts. The ward of the court, say it's elderly mama, let's call her Edna. Edna's now a ward of the court. Edna is not even in the courtroom. Edna has probably no idea that this is happening. The rest of the family probably has no idea that this is happening. But Edna, at that point, is stripped of her civil rights. If you think I'm joking, I'm not. All of her civil rights are dissolved. She cannot hire an attorney to fight for her. She cannot get a control of her money. She can't decide where to live, who she gets to see, what doctor she goes to. She can't vote. All of her rights are taken away. And
she can't even vote.
No, because she's declared incapacitated, you see. So an incapacitated person, we can't let them vote. So after that, immediately, stripped of civil rights, and then all of your assets, money, bank accounts, trusts, property, investments, is all put into the name of the guardian. Now, the sister who's gone to the lawyer and said, gee, help me out, thinks that she's going to be appointed guardian. That's probably what the lawyer told her. But more and more I found, and I investigated this for 8 years before I wrote this book.
Wow.
8 years. More and more I discovered, Jim, that lawyers who take these petitions to the judges believe if it's gotten to this point, this family must be dysfunctional. So I'm not going to appoint the daughter as a guardian. I'm going to appoint an outside professional for-profit guardian. And now nobody in the family has any say in Edna's future. It's all in the hands of a total stranger, a court-appointed guardian.
That makes absolutely no sense.
I know.
As an individual, you would want someone who you feel loves you or cares about you to be responsible for you, not some outsider, some stranger you've never met who's going to intrude on your life and tell you what you're going to do for years.
Yes, until you die, probably. People have to understand, number one, how easy it is to guardianize someone, but number two, how powerful these guardians are. You see, when the money runs out, when the liquid money, the checking account, the savings account money is gone, because the guardian can charge up to $600 an hour and they can hire anybody else they want to help service the ward. The ward pays for everything. When all that money is gone, the guardian will go back to the judge. Again, these are the worst case scenarios. Go back to the judge and say, Your Honor, all the liquid money's gone. I need to sell the house. I need to sell the car and everything in the house and maybe bust that trust that Edna put into effect all those years ago. Now, somebody in the family might say, hey, wait a minute, that house is bequeathed to me in her will. But the judge just nullifies the will and the trusts and all the rest.
Well, let me back up just for a second, because I want to understand this. So a lawyer is hired by someone in the family and they feel that Edna is not capable of taking care of herself.
Right.
And so that lawyer then files a petition, takes it to the court, and the lawyer and the judge make the determination about whether or not she should be guardianed?
Well, no, the judge makes the final decision, but they're overworked. They're undertrained. They take the word of the officer of the court. And I have to be honest with you, in many of these petitions, I discovered they're replete with exaggerations and downright lies. The daughter stole $100,000 from mom. Well, the judge never says, hey, prove that. Really? Bring the daughter here. I want to talk to the daughter. None of that happens because in these courts, there's no due process guaranteed. There's no trials. Edna doesn't have the right to bring any witnesses up to say that she's perfectly fine and capable. It's all a piece of paper and a judge's ruling in what's called this equity court.
Unbelievable. I'm curious, what kind of court? I mean, we have so many different courts in this country. Where does a guardianship case take place? Is there a special court just for that?
No, and I wish there were. You know, like we have veterans courts and drug courts. I wish there were, because then you'd have some trained people on them. But no, it depends on the state you're in, Jim. So like in Pennsylvania, believe it or not, it's called Widows and Orphans Court. In other places, it's surrogate court or probate court. You know, funny, probate used to be to handle the estates of dead people. Well, these days, probate courts handle the estates of live people who have been declared incapacitated.
Well, the state-run guardianship system or conservatorship in some states, it's pretty much unregulated as far as I can tell from reading your book. And there are predators out there who take advantage of the system. Some people are even forced to take medication. Aren't there any set of principles or guidelines that are supposed to be followed uniformly across the country, or is it just up to each individual judge who handles a case?
Well, yes, it is up to each individual judge. And again, this is called an equity court. And the equity court, it's sort of the lowest rung in the justice system. I don't mean to disparage the judges there, but there are lawyers who couldn't make it in private practice, so they run for judgeship. And that's where they start. And then hoping to move up, you know, into district court or appellate court or whatever. But you just have to understand that if a family bickers about what to do with that's only one way that a guardianship can start. You see, I found cases where there's an elderly woman in Manhattan who's lived in her apartment for more than 50 years. She has a rent controlled apartment in a beautiful building. And you can imagine the low rent that she pays. She had to go to the hospital for a little minor procedure. And while she was there, the landlord of the building got a lawyer to write a petition for guardianship and put this 93-year-old woman in guardianship. So a lawyer can put you in. Your angry ex-business partner or a former lover or anybody can guardianize anybody. It's just unbelievable.
I mean, really, it sounds insane. I mean, a person can't defend his or herself once the courts get involved. You can't hire your own attorney. I mean, how do you fight someone charging you with being impaired, incapable of caring for yourself, or being a threat to yourself or others when you might not be?
Right, exactly. But you see, you've already been declared incapacitated. So in the eyes of the law, you're dead. I'm not exaggerating when I tell you a death row inmate has more rights than someone in guardianship. When you think about it, a prisoner on death row gets to see a lawyer. A prisoner on death row can decide what they want to eat.
And there are parole hearings.
Yes. And there are, you know, there's a chance you might get out. But not, how do you get out of it, you ask? Well, if you're Britney Spears, you spend millions more on a tough dog litigator to get you out of it. Most of the time, once a guardianship is in place, it's in place forever.
On the Spears case, her father became her conservator. And her legal team claimed her father, Jamie Spears, enriched himself by taking in more than $5 million from his daughter's earnings. And if I'm reading this right, another $2.6 million from her Femme Fatale tour. First of all, how was that allowed? And who supervises the guardian?
Well, Jamie Spears, who, by the way, the Spears family, as I write in the book, they have a history of institutionalizing their women and over-medicating them with lithium, which is exactly what happened to Britney, happened to two of her grandmothers before her. Well, in this instance, the judge appointed a co-guardian. So it was Jamie Spears and another man named Sam Ingram. Sam Ingram is a fixture, or was, around the California courthouse in cases. He had all these very lucrative guardianship cases. So he gets appointed to watch Jamie because Jamie is a civilian and he may or may not know, but he knows his daughter. So now we have a co-conservatorship going on. Sam Ingram, by the way, made $10,000 a week for almost 14 years. $10,000 a week. And Jamie, by the way, he made all that money from his daughter, but he also got a percentage, according to newspaper accounts, of her marketing. So there's a Britney Spears doll or a lunchbox or whatever, and he got a piece of that too.
Not to harp on the Britney Spears story, but she wanted out of the guardianship and tried to hire an attorney on a couple of occasions, but she wasn't able to. There's a person that really lose all of their rights, even a right to hire an attorney.
Yes.
I mean, like we just talked about, even someone who commits a heinous crime has a right to a parole hearing.
And imagine, this is a young woman who is still working. She's making multiple of dollars on television and working, selling records. And she's, now, does she have mental issues? Mm-hmm. Maybe. Looking at her TikTok lately, I'd say probably. But is that what we want to do as a society, to take away all your civil rights? I mean, this is the United States of America. We're not supposed to do that. We're supposed to help our brethren who need help. But this guardianship issue that I'm talking about only seems to help people. You know, we're here to help, as my book title says. We're here to help mm-hmm. people with mm-hmm. money. I mean, if we were really concerned yeah. about it, Jim, helping people, wouldn't we be giving all the people sleeping on the street in New York and Los Angeles and Chicago and Dallas and Boston, wouldn't we give them guardians if we really cared about protecting them? But that's not who is targeted under guardianship. It's always someone with money.
With money. You know, we've talked about the Spears case, but there are close to 2 million people in her situation, not necessarily her age, because she was pretty young when this happened. Tell us about some of the cases that you've come across and how some people who have no reason to have a guardian get trapped in the system.
I'll tell you a case out of Tennessee. There's a young woman named Ginger Franklin, 38 years old, worked hard, saved her money, bought herself a condo. Mm-hmm. She had a car and a condo, single woman. She fell down the stairs in her condo and went into a coma, a brief period of time. But during that time, someone within the guardianship system said, aha, she's got a condo, she's got a car, and got her guardianized while she was in a coma. She wakes up, she recovers, but she finds herself at a group home where she is literally working. They they put her to work managing all the medications for the other people in the group home on the computer. She was sent out to do the grocery shopping and did all the cooking and cleaning, but she's incapacitated. Mm-hmm. She kept filing pro bono to the court, please let me out. I'm okay, please let me out. And the judge wouldn't let her out. She ultimately got a settlement from the state of Tennessee, a small settlement for that, and then passed away at a very young age. It was a sad case. So that's one where you have no idea what's happening.
Well, tell me about, I read that story about the mechanic.
Really serious. A Texas car mechanic is doing work for an elderly multimillionaire in Texas on his classic cars. And the old man racked up quite a tab, like 30 grand or something. Mm-hmm. And the mechanic went to a lawyer friend and he said, hey, how do I get this forgetful old man to pay me what he owes? And the lawyer counseled him to go for guardianship. And he did. And he won guardianship over this multimillionaire. Suddenly, this car mechanic in a small town in Texas is in charge of a multimillion dollar estate because he wanted his car bill paid.
Again, total insanity. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this, Diane. Is it detrimental to have a relative who might have a vested interest in your finances, a person who supposedly loves you but is a troubled person? Is it detrimental for them to take control, or is it better to have an independent person with nothing to gain financially except what the court says that they can take out of the estate? I think mm-hmm. I'd rather have a family member rather than some stranger I don't know assume control over my affairs.
Yes, me too. And I think of my late mother and father, and they would, of course, they would want me. We mm-hmm. had a very wonderful relationship. I'm an only child, so, mm-hmm. I have no one to argue with. Mm-hmm. And I have an only child, so I hope I don't have to ever worry about this. But no, listen, The guardians who are up to no good, I mm-hmm. discovered, routinely say, and this happens nationwide, I'm here to help. I'm here to protect this old person because their family is so dysfunctional. Mm-hmm. They bicker and they fight all the time. Well, Jim, do you know a family that doesn't fight or bicker or have some odds with it? Come on. Oh, but they love each other. No, and no wants out of life. But then what I'm saying? It's a family member who knows what Widow Edna wanted out of life and what was on her bucket list. And she wants to go to Ireland, or she wants to go to the horse races in Kentucky, or whatever. They know what that relative of theirs want, wants out of life. And I think it's much more beneficial to leave a ward of the court in the control of a family member, if at all possible. Now, listen, I also discovered some family members that were diabolical, trying to get the ward of the court to sign papers to, you know, put me back in the will. I even sadly found a case of an allegation, but it was a pretty strong allegation presented in court, that a son was sexually abusing his elderly mother in a demented attempt to get back at his sister that he was fighting with. So nobody's hands are clean in many instances, but I think we should have families take care of families when it's at all possible. And that's not necessarily happening now.
But with the Jamie Spears case, that was not a good situation for Britney Spears.
No, not at all. And, you know, Britney, she appeared in court via telephone. It was at the end of the pandemic. And somebody said to her, well, why haven't you ever asked to get out? Mm-hmm, I think the judge, Judge Penny, said, but you've never asked to have this terminated. And there was a long pause. And Britney Spears said, I had no idea I could ask.
It all makes no sense. And I also saw an item in your book that suggests that judges, lawyers, guardians, they all collude to profit from the fortunes of the elderly and the disabled. I really didn't understand. I mean, how do the judges collude with the lawyers and guardians?
It's all a cadre of the same players over and over again. Somebody goes to the lawyer, says, I need a guardianship. Mm-hmm. That lawyer already knows what guardian they're going to suggest to the court. They have two or three of their favorites, and the judge knows those two or three favorites and knows the lawyer. Mm-hmm. And see, if it's a temporary guardianship, you're guardianized right away. But sometimes if it's just a petition for guardianship, there'll be an order from the judge that a mental evaluator will talk to the ward in their own home, usually. There'll be a court visitor appointed. They'll go to the home of the relatives and to the ward and see what's up and try to determine whether the guardianship is really needed. All of those people work together. Mm-hmm. So when the lawyer gets a petition, he knows the guardian he's going to talk to, he knows the court visitor he's going to ask to be appointed, he knows the mental evaluator that he's going to say to be appointed, and the judge just says, oh, isn't that convenient? You have all the suggestions down here. Yeah, okay, everybody's appointed. And it's the same teams over and over again. Yep. When somebody is guardianized, mm-hmm. the guardian or conservator goes to the home of the ward and they are supposed to inventory everything. Mm-hmm. I mean, from the silverware to the artwork on the wall, to the cars in the garage, to the furniture in the living room. And that is supposed to be given to the court. Mm-hmm. Now, what happens when some eccentric old person has $5,000 in cash under their mattress? Mm-hmm. That doesn't get put on the inventory list.
Where does that end up?
Well, I'm not casting aspersions, but right. Yes, indeed, that's my question, too.
Right.
Where does the original Chagall go that hung on the wall? And the guardian, if confronted, says, Chagall? I don't know. What are you talking about? There's chicanery that goes on, and when a family member complains, again, the all-powerful guardian, they've been given court power, can bar that relative from seeing their loved one now because they're disrupted. They upset the ward. Mm-hmm. And I found cases where relatives, loved ones were isolated from the ward permanently. They were banned from seeing them. And then these old people die all alone.
It's just awful. I mean, it really is.
Yeah, can I say one more thing?
Yeah, sure.
People listening to this are thinking, oh, come on. This doesn't happen in the United States of America. How come I never heard about this?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, you haven't heard about it because it's secret. It's a secret court system that takes place behind closed courtroom doors. The public is usually not allowed. Recently, some doors have been opened in some states, but court documents are sealed. Oftentimes, a judge will put a gag order on. Nobody can say anything outside the courtroom about the proceedings. And it's all under the cloak of HIPAA, you know, that federal medical privacy law.
Right.
You know,
where you can't talk about, you can't discuss or reveal any information about a medical medical situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And after all, we're talking about an incapacitated person. That's a medical term. So they really do hide behind this federal law when they're in court. And even talking about something as mundane as whether the ward should keep their cell phone or not. Well, that's not a medical discussion.
Yeah.
You know, the ward wants to travel to Georgia to her granddaughter's funeral. Can she go? That's not a medical discussion.
So these people are totally isolated.
And often over-medicated to keep them compliant.
And who determines whether or not they get medication or not?
Well, many times the ward will be put into a home healthcare situation or into a nursing home. They can be involuntarily put into a nursing home because the guardian wants to sell the house or they don't want them to stay in the house for some safety reason. And it comes on the orders of the guardian. This person needs to be medicated. And then along with medical people at the nursing home or home health aides, suddenly they're not taking one tranquilizer, but three or four or five and looking like a zombie.
Mm-hmm.
And then everybody agrees, oh, wow, this person needs to be in guardianship. Look at her. Yeah. Look at him. Wow.
But they become more incapacitated the longer they're under guardianship. They're not eating right. They're medicated. They're lonely. They're confused. It just seems to be a vicious circle.
You know, somebody asked me yesterday, why would a guardian want to do away with their ward?
Mm-hmm.
Because many of these over-medicated people, I'm going to tell you, they die prematurely.
Mm-hmm.
Why would a guardian want to do that? And because then, you know, then they don't have somebody they can charge. Well, yes, they do. Because again, once you're guardianized, all of your money and estate and property and investments goes into the name of the guardian.
Mm-hmm.
So some of them, there's one diabolical guardian that was just on trial in Florida. She didn't care if her ward died because her name was already on all their property. And she left their estates open for weeks and sometimes months and years, pulling fees out of them for some reason or another. And the judges just approved it. So there are lots and lots of good professional guardians.
If there are predatory guardians, conservators, and lawyers in our society, why aren't more of them charged with crimes and prosecuted? I know it's happened in some cases, but there seems to be a lot of cases out there where they're not prosecuted,
mm-hmm.
where they're not brought to justice. And I have to ask again, where is the supervision of the judges, the lawyers, and the guardian?
Bingo. That is the $64,000 question. I think, you know, when a family member goes to the local police and says, hey, the guardian won't let me see my mother.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's been kidnapped. The police will tell you, oh, sorry, we can't help you. That's a civil matter. A judge has ruled. We only investigate criminal matters. So why aren't more of them prosecuted? Because you'll have to have a sitting judge be one of the witnesses.
Mm-hmm.
The guardians and the conservators will tell you they don't do anything without the judge's permission. Oh, I asked the judge if it was okay to sell the house. He said yes. I asked the judge if it was okay to ignore the will. He said yes.
Mm-hmm.
These, you know, if you and I did that, if we were a fiduciary that tipped into somebody's trust fund,
yeah,
we'd be in jail.
Yeah, we would immediately. You know, how did a system, and this was developed a long time ago, a system that was supposedly set up to protect people become a system that victimizes them instead? And the ironic, almost diabolical aspect to your investigation is that this can happen to anyone without warning. Is there an effort underway to fix the system? Can it be fixed?
There is. There are pockets of activist groups around the country. There's one group in particular. If anyone is facing this and needing some assistance, look up it's on Facebook, a Facebook page for a group called CEAR, C-E-A-R,
mm-hmm.
Center for Estate Administration Reform. It's run by Terry and Rick Black. They've counseled 5,000 and more families on how to get through a problem. Problematic guardianship. There are pockets of reform movement, and there are bills being introduced in various states to try to put a Band-Aid on this system,
mm-hmm.
like a bill to ensure a family gets visitation, or a bill to ensure that a guardian has to file an annual report about where Where's the money gone? Oddly enough, these annual mandated reports are frequently not even filed. Mm-hmm. And when they are, there's nobody to check them anyway. There's no court staff. So there is a bit of a reform movement underway, but it's sort of like putting a Band-Aid on a big open wound.
I imagine it's piecemeal, too, because if, mm-hmm. if it goes state by state, if there's nothing cross-country, a federal law that has to be followed, then every state can have their own laws.
Yes, exactly. And there has been a push to get the federal government involved. The Senate Aging Committee has had hearings. I found that going back to the mid-80s, old Senator Claude Pepper was having hearings about mm-hmm. this. Mm-hmm. He even got a convicted guardian from Detroit or some Midwestern state flown into Washington from his prison cell to come and explain to Congress how easy it was for him to steal Ward's money. Jeez. So Congress has known about this for a long time. The GAO has written report after report, General Accounting Office, mm-hmm. Talking about the criminality within the guardianship system. Something should be done. At least let's get a database so we know exactly how many guardianships there are. We keep track of missing vehicles. We can't count the number of people in guardianship. Mm. That 2 million is an estimate. It's a good estimate. But, yeah. So I think personally, Jim, there's going to have to be some federal law mm-hmm. passed mm-hmm. to regulate this. And they'll tell you, well, it's a state's rights issue. We can't go into a state and tell them what to do.
Oh, here we go again, right?
Like, I call BS on yeah. that, because the DOJ, the Department of Justice, sends investigators into state police departments when mm-hmm. there's a civil rights violation. And they investigate, they give them a list of things they got to fix, they make sure they fix it or they pull their federal funds. Why can't they do that with the guardianship system?
They could, but there's always a reason why they don't. Yeah. What about a person's last will and testament, power of attorney, designated beneficiary, trust accounts? Is the guardian allowed to take control over your last wishes? And what about the heirs? Do they have the right to contest a court's decision?
They can. But what they'll be doing is spending their own potential inheritance. Because if a guardian, yes, a judge gives permission routinely to nullify a will, a power of attorney designee, you could just ignore that person. It's now in the hands of the guardian. Mm-hmm. Irrevocable trusts have been broken. I found many, many, many cases of that. Yes, an heir can file a grievance or a motion or even a lawsuit against a guardian, but the answer will always be, the judge gave me permission, the court told me it was okay to do it, and now so you say, let's go after the judge. Well, they have immunity. Right. A sitting yeah. judge, they have immunity from prosecution, any ruling they made from the bench. Mm-hmm. So it's a terrible catch-22. On the front of my book is a person with their hand behind their back and their fingers crossed. It's a double cross in many instances. You may think you're going to be the guardian if you go for this, your mother, your father, whatever. The chances are you won't be named. It is a double right. cross every step of the way.
I saw a documentary recently that called conservatorship or guardianship a civil death. Would you say that's a fair assessment?
Yes. You know, to live in a civilized society, we all have the same rules and rights, but not a ward of the court. Uh-huh. Again, they're stripped of all their civil rights. I never imagined that this could happen in the United States. I grew up with a profound respect for law enforcement and the legal mm-hmm. system. And mm-hmm. you know me, I've covered many, many trials, criminal right. trials. And, you know, I have great respect for the judicial system. But the last many years investigating this, it's diminished, I have to tell you. My trust in the system is, I mean, if they're doing this at this level, what else is happening?
That is a great question. I would love to know what happens, especially as more and more information gets out about conservatorship and guardianship. On the other side of the coin, there are legitimate circumstances, though, Diane, right, where people truly are incapable of making choices for themselves, where they have lost their mental acuity, mm-hmm. and they can be taken advantage of. So does the system protect some of the people, some of those 2 million people we discussed?
Oh, yes. I wish I could give you better numbers. But yes, Many, many of these guardianships work out just fine, and many of the guardians are compassionate, well-trained, wonderful people, and they really do want to help. And I'm talking about the stranger guardians. You know, there is a vast need in this country since families, you know, young people move away, they go to another state, and the old person has no one to help them, or the disabled person. We have a lot of people living with disabilities in this country, but there is, I discovered, a wholesale guardianization of many disabled people simply because they have cerebral palsy. Well, that's a motor skill problem. That's not an intellect problem. Or right. Down syndrome. That doesn't mean the person's stupid and can't conduct their own life. It just means they live with a disability. Mm-hmm. And so I think we need to devise a system where that's way less stringent than guardianship conservatorship, where you don't have any civil rights left. There's a thing called supported decision making, which seems to be taking off, which is a less restrictive system. Many states will tell you, oh, yeah, well, we wrote it into the law that the judge may consider a less restrictive situation. Well, that language may consider, oh, big deal. I mean, they may consider going to the moon one day, but they're not going to do that either. So I think laws have to be stricter. And again, I would turn to the federal government for help on this.
So bottom line is that the system that is in place today that would allow me to become your guardian, you really have no rights. If I can make the case and I hire the right attorney and I get the right judge involved, that's the bottom line.
That's the bottom line.
It seems so preposterous that I just have a hard time believing it. But knowing you for many years and knowing your work, it's verifiable. And it was a great read, by the way.
For people who are thinking, oh, she must be exaggerating this point or that point, I have pages and pages and pages of end notes. And I challenge everybody.
I saw that.
Check it out. I'm only reporting verifiable facts here about this system that is so secretive, most of the public doesn't even know it exists.
As you put in the very end of your book, the New York Times wrote, this was like 5 years ago, guardianship is where the breakdown of modern life, broken families, broken health, broken finances, and broken bureaucracy tumbled together in a system that appeared to bring out the worst in people, secretive, confusing, and run by lawyers with extraordinary powers over vulnerable individuals. This is not a new story. I'm really glad that you're bringing it to light because people need to become more aware.
Thank you.
Unfortunately, we're running out of time. As usual, we could go on for hours about this story. Fascinating.
We could.
And somewhat frightening, this topic, but something everyone should be aware of. And I thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you. And if anyone wants more information, hit my website, dianediamond.com. There's no A in my last name, by the way. And I have a whole page there called Guardianship Central. And it'll give you definitions for terms you'll run across if you get into guardianship, and FAQ section and other articles you can read. I hope it helps.
We're here to help when guardianship goes wrong. The website again is dianediamond.com. And you'll see where you can get a copy of the book, correct?
Yes, you can. There's a clickable link there on my website, or go to Amazon or your independent bookstore. Ask them to order it for you. The mom and pop shop, they need help.
They do. And again, thanks so much for being with us. I'm Jim Paymar, and you've been listening to The Big Shift, available wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening today, and stay tuned for the next episode of The Big Shift. It's coming soon.